just wanted to let you know, firstly, which organisations the money that is being raised tonight will be going towards. There's a lot of fundraisers going on around Australia and around the world for some of the larger organisations. But we wanted to make sure that this money that's raised tonight actually goes specifically to the group of people who we're most concerned about, in terms of those people who are really being affected by the radiation issues from the Fukushima nuclear reactor. So we've chosen two organisations. The first one is one which has been invaluable throughout this whole disaster for supplying information to the general public. One of the biggest things that we have throughout this is the lack of information that comes through. The company, TEPCO, and the government have been very slow with providing information, detailed information, up-to-date information to people who live in that area. So one of the main really important organisations that has been doing that 24 hours in English and in Japanese has been the Citizens Nuclear Information Centre. They operate out of Tokyo. And they've been doing fantastic work, conducting interviews and press conferences with people who are in the industry and people who are very knowledgeable about how the nuclear industry works, and also about the nuclear science behind what's actually happening at the plant. So they're one of the organisations that we've chosen. The other one, because we'd really like to support them and to continue with their work to provide really informed information to the public. The other organisation we chose was the only organisation we could find that was actually working inside the exclusion zone. One of the major problems with the nuclear reactor issue is, of course, fear, quite understandable fear, about radiation exposure within the area. And this goes not only for the people who are living in that area, but also for people who are emergency workers. They're not interested at all in putting their emergency workers inside areas where the emergency workers could potentially be affected by radiation. And we found only one organisation that was actually doing that. So none of the big organisations are doing that. They're all going much further north, where the very, very dramatic but very, you know, obviously devastating areas have been affected by the tsunami. But these areas here, if you can look at the image up here, I just picked up two photos for you to give you an idea of what's happening. Obviously, this is all in Japanese. I don't expect you to read Japanese, but I hope that your mapping skills can at least give you some vague understanding of what's going on here. So this is where the Fukushima nuclear reactor is, just there. That's the number one reactor. That's the number two reactor. So you can see the 20-kilometre radius from that reactor, and then the 30-kilometre radius. At the moment, the 20-kilometre radius is where people have been evacuated from. However, not all people have evacuated from that area. And the reasons why people haven't evacuated is because they don't have petrol. It's because they have pets and they don't want to leave them behind. It's because they're old people who are bedridden and physically can't leave, and so their families have decided to stay with them. So there are still people within that 20-kilometre radius who simply are unable to leave. Within the 20 to 30 kilometre, that extra 10 kilometres there, there are, I think, at least 10,000 people who are still in that area. It's a lot of people who are still in the area. And just the last couple of days, the government has upped the evacuation procedures from simply remain indoors to voluntarily evacuate, please. So the government is recognising that radiation levels around the area are getting too high. But what you can see from the two pictures that I've picked, the top one, Minamisoma in Fukushima Prefecture, round about where the top 30 kilometres is, right up there, the top 30 kilometres is, that's around about where the area of that top photo was taken. Down the bottom down here, we've got the coastline near Iwaki. That's around here. So you can see that the entire coastline has been devastated by the tsunami. It's not just up north where the big NGOs are going. It's this coastline as well. However, the only organisation we could find that was actually going and working in these areas was an organisation called Children Without Borders, KNK Japan, and that's one that we've decided to spend our money on tonight. So we're hoping that the money that we raise tonight, we can send off to them. Obviously, you can see that the area has been completely devastated, but these people have the added risk of radiation exposure, and workers are simply not going into that area because of the fear and the concerns that they have about them being exposed to radiation. You can see up here the numbers. The kanji, the characters there, are all the place names. You can see the one that has 1.437. That's the number of millisieverts. And it's in one year, normal background radiation, you were exposed to one. This data was taken over one day from the 23rd to the 24th. So it's already a week since the 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks since the actual tsunami hit the coast. So almost 2 weeks since the tsunami hit the coast, we have radiation readings 30 kilometres out from the reactor, reading in at more than what you would get in a whole year in only 24 hours. So this is a serious condition. Well, you can see, obviously, the wind has taken radiation in different ways, and obviously you get higher and lower readings throughout the area. But you can get the idea that this is a serious issue for these people who live in this area. And what's even more serious for them right now is they're not getting the support they need. Because even though their areas have been devastated, just like up in the north, they're not getting the support they need. We also see that areas, if you're within the 30-kilometre radius area and you have either voluntarily evacuated or you have been evacuated because you lived closer to the reactor, you've moved into one of the neighbouring prefectures. Obviously, you haven't gone north because there's more problems up there with the tsunami, but you might have gone west or you might have gone south. In the prefectures where they've been evacuated to, they've set up evacuation centres in schools, in community buildings, in town halls, all sorts of places like that. And as part of the concerns for radiation, they sent out scientists and doctors to perform the radiation readings tests. And there have been various photos of babies and other people being checked for the levels of radiation that they have on them have been up on the screen earlier. So you can see that this is happening at all the evacuation centres in all the areas around Japan. But what we've seen in recent days is that they've started issuing certificates to people who have been checked. And yes, you're safe, you do not have radiation exposure. Which means that for people who have not been checked for whatever reason, they are no longer being allowed to enter the evacuation centre. So until you are checked for radiation, you are not able to access the resources that you need, whether that be clean water, whether that be food, whether that be nappies for your child, whatever it is. You're unable to access that until you go through the procedure of being checked for radiation. So you can imagine the fear that is in the people in terms of, you know, are they going to test positive for this? Are they going to be, goodness me, what does that mean for my child? It's very, very frightening stuff. And we've seen in Chernobyl, we've seen in Three Mile Island, we've seen in Hiroshima and Nagasaki and all the other devastating nuclear events in the world, that whenever this happens, the devastating effects of the community in terms of how personally they are affected, cancers, people die, etc. This is horrible stuff to be dealing with. But even on top of that, we have discrimination. And that lasts for many, many years beyond the accident itself. In Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the bombs were dropped in 1945. People lied about where they were born. They lied about where they had come from for many generations after, because they didn't want the stigma that they were born of a generation that were irradiated from the bombs. So what we have here in Japan is another example of how people already, 2 weeks out of this disaster, people are already being discriminated against. And not so much just that it's, oh, I won't let my kids play with your kids. It's actually they are not getting access to what they need. And, you know, maybe it is just a matter of queuing up to get that test done to see whether you've been irradiated or not. But the logistics, how long is the queue? Does my child need to have something to eat right now? I need to change a nappy. My, you know, someone hasn't slept in 2 days. I really need to get inside where they can sleep. So to think about those human rights that are being affected by whether you have a piece of paper or not, we're really beginning to see how the radiation issue becomes serious in the world. So we're seeing already that's something that we're facing in Japan with how people are dealing with this. So I encourage everyone to make sure that you are well informed about what's going on. And as I said, the money from tonight, well, half of it will be going to the Citizens Nuclear Information Centre. The website for them is on this little flyer, which was at the front door. I totally recommend, please go home, watch one of their press conferences, read their press releases, because they have the most up-to-date information, and it is not controlled by the government. It is not controlled by TEPCO. There, the information that comes through from the electricity company, from the government, comes out far too late. Far too late and far little of it. Far, you know, the real readings of radiation that's happening. People, one of the biggest problems they had was that all the radiation testing gadgets in the entire of Fukushima Prefecture, which is actually, if you can see that dark black line right up the top, and then it goes all the way down here, which is basically the entire area which has been affected, understood to be affected. All of the radiation measuring devices either broke in the tsunami or the earthquake, which meant that the only readings they had for radiation for the first few days, until other people started reading it as well, were the ones that the electricity company had, that they were giving their workers, the handheld devices. So where they give one to the workers, the workers at the reactor, when the reading got too high for the worker to be, you know, to be legally able to be there, obviously the worker didn't go any closer. So we don't know how high the readings are. We have no idea. They have no idea. We have no idea how high the readings are, because once they hit 100 millisieverts, they're not allowed to go any closer. And one of the ways that they got around that was they actually upped the readings. It was 100, and then they actually changed it, and they said, oh, we can't deal with this issue if we're not legally able to expose them to any more than 100. I know what we'll do. We'll make it 250. Which means that now people are legally able to be exposed to a much higher reading, but the effects on them and for their poor families who know that they are working at that reactor and being exposed to incredibly dangerous readings of radiation